Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Donegal set up a repeat of the 2014 All-Ireland Football Decider with that ruthless dismissal of Meath in this weekend's second semi-final. A trio of second-half goals from Oisín Gallan, Kieran Moore and Conor O'Donnell saw them deliver the win, while Kerry overcame Tyrone on Saturday, setting up the prospect of a great final in 2 weeks' time. And of course, all of that comes as we gear up for Tipperary taking on Cork in the hurling this weekend. And look who's here, Marty Morrissey, live and in the flesh, RTÉ Gaelic Games correspondent. How are you still standing on a Monday after weekends like this?
It's like everybody else. We just love what we're doing. I'm privileged to do it, Claire. It's that simple. And to be able to be in Croke Park and to be given the microphone and talk about games that we love, it's not a burden, it's a privilege, I can assure you.
I was saying to you when you came into the studio now, and I wasn't sure whether you're aware of it or not, that you're a TikTok star now with these videos that they're taking of you as you're doing the commentary and more than 2 million people looking at these things.
Unbelievable. Reaction, and we met Sophie and Maeve beforehand who do the social media for RTÉ, and we said, oh, grand, yeah. Forgot about it completely. John Milan rang me on Friday and says, Marty, did you see them? I didn't see them at all. And he was, you know, John Milan is a great character, but it's 2 million.
It's you in full flow doing the commentary. So you probably don't even know they're filming you.
I genuinely didn't, because we're watching the game and there was so much happening as well. But on Wednesday, they rang me and told me we had 2 million views or hits, which is phenomenal. So I presume it's higher than that now. But the funny thing is that I do get texts from people in Los Angeles and Abu Dhabi saying that they saw it as well, which shows you the broad appeal. Nothing to do with me now, or John, but it's the broad appeal.
But I think it's that fascination with seeing somebody who is full tilt, you know, you're doing your job, there's nothing else going on, you're locked in your bubble, and we get to see that happening. Yeah. Anyway, listen, that's all.
And the funny thing is, Claire, I was getting loads of texts from my friends in Clare. What are you getting so excited about Tipperary winning? Because of the rivalry between Clare and Tip, you see? And I said, it's the hurling we love.
You need to have an answer ready for those sort of questions, don't you? It's tricky. Now, you can either have a battle royale at this stage, the semi-final stage, like we saw in the hurling, or you see two teams emerge who are clearly ready for the All-Ireland. And I think, would you agree, that's 100%. What we saw at the weekend?
Yeah. I mean, certainly Kerry have proven in the last two games that they have really upgraded themselves. I actually did the match between Kerry and Meath in Tullamore, and Meath won that game.
Yeah.
And there was huge disappointment, and there was lack of energy in the Kerry performance. But I know that they had a big conversation on the bus home. And my God, what Jack O'Connor has done, and the team and the people involved and the players have responded magnificently. And I also think for an All-Ireland quarterfinal and semi-final, and there's a great rivalry, obviously, between Kerry and the Ulster teams over the years. And Kerry have said they're not going to do this to us again. But the people of Kerry have responded. I never saw such a crowd. And to hear Kerry in an All-Ireland semi-final, because tradition always went with Kerry, saying, we'll go up for the final. There'll be no problem whatsoever. Do you know what I mean?
They were there yesterday.
They were there now. This was different on Saturday, and again for the match against Armagh. And I have to say, I wouldn't like Meath, the performance yesterday by Meath against Donegal, to define their season. Because what Robbie Brennan and the Meath players have done in the last year has been quite phenomenal. And I know they were heartbroken. I met them afterwards and they were all devastated. But like their CV has improved. They were Tailteann Cup winners 2 years ago. Tailteann Cup, which is kind of for the next level, let's put it like that. Now that we're in the last four of the All-Ireland semi-final.
It's incredible. See, we lose sight of that on a day like yesterday.
Absolutely. And things go wrong. And they had a plan, obviously, to go for 2-pointers in the first half with wind assisted. And very few of them came off. Some of them did. But they will have learned from yesterday. And I just want to say that I do think that Meath should be congratulated on their performances. They beat Dublin, they beat Kerry, they beat Cork, they beat Galway.
This is it.
That's a very impressive CV.
It really is.
But Donegal and Kerry are still at a higher level again. Mm. And it's great that we've the two best teams in the country now, here coming back to Croke Park on Sunday week.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what you saw, wasn't it? It's real cream of the crop time,
it
you
is.
Know? And Jim McGuinness is Donegal. What a force to be reckoned with, and to see Michael Murphy. I was reading a piece this morning that said, when Michael Murphy goes off, you know, the game is over. You've done your
that's
job.
That's probably true.
Come on.
Remind him for the final, yeah.
Exactly.
And I mean, I've seen him in a lot of games. I think this was their 10th championship match, which is the highest number of games that any team have played in the championship, more so than Kerry. So their All-Ireland final will be their 11th championship match. Mm-hmm. And for Michael Murphy to be part of Jim Gavin's Football Review Committee and Jim McGuinness to persuade him to come back out of retirement, Michael Murphy only came back for one thing, to win an All-Ireland. Great to win Ulster, fantastic. But knowing the man and his love of football and growing up in Glenswilly and that beautiful part of Donegal, there was no doubt there was one objective, to win another All-Ireland. And they're now 70 minutes away from it.
70 Remarkable. Minutes away, but they have to face down Kerry and David Clifford and all of the other
Joe
great
Connor
skilled
and,
players on yeah. that team to
and
get
that will,
there.
That will be the crucial battle. How do you mark David Clifford? How do you stop a man that is so immensely talented? And I being from Clare, we've always loved in West, we love Kerry. But not because when we played them, they hammered you know what out of us, but we still love them and admire them. Mm. But like when I think of Pat Spillane, Mikey Sheehy, Ogie Moore and Jack O'Shea, wonderful footballers, Maurice Fitzgerald. Now you look at David and you say, my God, he's just magic. And how do you stop him? And he's such a modest guy. And Paddy Clifford, his brother, is a different sort of footballer, Clare, but he's a crucial cog mm-hmm. in this team. And you add in Sean O'Shea and Joe O'Connor. He did a great favour for me yesterday coming out to do the news piece. But such a modest fella and really performing now at his maximum.
Well,
so
I don't know what the rules are for you here now, but can you, given what you've witnessed over the season, can you see or say who might edge it in the football?
It's a hard one and I really don't know, yeah. Claire, and that's being honest, because when on Saturday evening I thought Kerry would win the All-Ireland because it looked like an All-Ireland performance and they were playing against Tyrone up there, one of the great football teams, and it was a real team performance. And then you saw what Donegal did. I think Kerry have individually some of the best footballers in the country, but if you look at Donegal, they have a squad of players. And you can bring on Jason McGee, you can bring on Paddy McBrearty. They have a huge amount of talent. Not that Kerry don't have either. So it'll be a very interesting tactical thing because Kerry play the ball long because they have David Clifford inside in the full forward line. They have the two Ganeys who've also done very well. So it'll be a very interesting to see what Jim McGuinness comes up with. In 2014, Eamon Fitzmaurice was the manager and he came up with a plan to beat Donegal. Mm-hmm. Now Jack O'Connor has to think about it as well. So I'm going to sit on the fence and I'm going to be very bold and I'm saying this could easily go to a replay. Sorry, Claire.
Really?
Yeah, I think there's very tight between them. I really do. Mm. I just can't. Right now, I'll see what I feel over in the next 2 weeks. But right now, I think it's very, very even.
You see, we'd all relish that because you see, it extends the season.
Yes,
the crack.
Correct.
But it's not much crack for the managers and the team setups and the poor players who've been through the mill. Listen, the hurling. Tip and Cork. It's the one that everybody relishes and has done over the years because they've played each other so many times. Most of the time, they are battle royales, aren't they?
They
a few
are.
Damn squibs over the years, which was
very
reading
few.
About Dennis Walsh's piece this morning. But in general, you can be almost guaranteed that you're in for a humdinger, right?
Yeah. The sparks always fly with Cork and Tipperary. And over the years, when the real Taoiseach Jack Lynch was playing and Jimmy Doyle, I mean, there were battles and Christy Ring. You think of all those. And that DNA has continued on to what we have now. Mm. Cork and Tip met this year in the league final and Cork went on their goals scoring spree. When Cork and Tip met in the Munster Championship, the ball was hardly thrown in when Darren McCarthy was sent off. So that game became a non-event. But funny enough, I was doing the Tipperary press conference last week with Liam Cahill and Jake Morris and the rest of them. And the one thing he mentioned, he said, maybe in hindsight, that was a good thing to happen because we've learned an awful lot. Tipperary players really did respond to being reduced to 14 players for 70 minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at the Cork team, the full forward line. I just did a tot before I came in. 12 goals and 68 points in six games in the three man full forward line. Patrick Horgan, Alan Connolly, Brian Hayes.
Yeah.
That's a staggering figure. And you look at the full forward line for Tipperary, Darren McCarthy, John McGrath, Jason Ford. In seven games, they've scored 9 goals and 90 points. Like, that is a scoring bonanza. So you ask yourself, how is Liam Cahill going to cope with that inside Cork full forward line? And indeed, how is Pat Ryan going to deal with Darren McCarthy, John McGrath and Jason Ford? And when Darren McCarthy was sent off and wasn't really performing well in the frees, Jason Ford led by example. So I think what Liam Cahill has done, he's produced a team probably a little bit ahead of themselves. He's done a great job, but he now has a cocktail of young fellas mixed with some experienced heads. And you look at Robert Doyle, who saved the goal on the goal line. Rhys Shelley is a good goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. And Pat Ryan has been doing the same thing. But I often say it about when Kerry and Dublin meet in the football, form goes out the window. And I would say the same about Cork and Tipperary.
Really?
This will be
A furnace.
Thank you, Claire. You should be a sports commentator, Claire. Do you know that? But it will be a furnace. It'll be hot and heavy. Mm-hmm. And discipline will be important. But like the exquisite skills we're going to see, we have now got the two best teams. Cork team kind of have arrived, if you know what I mean.
They haven't won it in 20 years.
No, they haven't. And that's the thing.
There's an awful hunger there, I would imagine.
And Tipperary only won it in 2019. Mm-hmm. Like, I always laugh at my Tipperary friends. There's a famine in Tipperary if they haven't won it after 2 years. Right. I said, try being Clare, where it was 81 years in 95.
Never mind Leash, right?
So we understand how much it means. Mm-hmm. But it's. I know that there's a huge demand for tickets, but Cork and Tipperary is an all-Munster final. It's never happened. Imagine that. Since the GA was founded in Hayes' Hotel in 1884, there's never been a Cork-Tipperary All-Ireland final. They eliminate each other. They do, in the Munster Championship. So it happens because of the way the structure was. But this is different. Now, I expected Limerick to be there or thereabouts, to be honest with you.
And Limerick did too.
And I think perhaps they just took their eye off the ball against Dublin. Full marks to Dublin. But like, you see what Cork and Dublin did, what they produced, and you'd say to yourself, I'd say Limerick were heartbroken. But right now, Tipperary are in a very good position, Claire. They're coming in as underdogs. They'll be written off, I think, as favourites over the next 5 or 6 days. So Cork will be made favourites. Tipperary will be underdogs, and that suits the Premier County big time.
And you're not going to call that one either, are you, for me?
No, I'm not. It should be Cork. But I have this thing about Tipperary. I just feel that Liam Callan and Tipperary have done a really good job in this building. And I saw, like, they didn't score a point. They got a goal. John McGrath got a great goal. And it took after 10 minutes. I forget the exact time. But it took another while before Tipperary got their first score, their first point. And I think that was acclimatisation to Croke Park. They've now got that under their belt. So I think you'd say Cork have probably arrived. They won the Munster Championship, they won the league. Tipperary are still a work in progress. They're probably maybe a year, 2 years in advance, but they love their hurling and they have hurlers. So I think this is going to be really tight as well.
I expect it'll be fabulous to watch.
I really do.
And you're calling for, you're saying perhaps a draw in the football, which would take us into another week. And we'd all love that. Marty, thanks so much. And thanks for coming in
after your busy weekend.
Great to have you with us. And look out for Marty on TikTok. You're missing out. I'd say it's up to about 4 million views now at this stage.
Well, after this conversation, it might be clear.
Now, coming up next, fresh findings against the BBC MasterChef presenter Greg Wallace. And we're going to get the latest on meat, which, as we know, is one of the basic food items that has skyrocketed in price. So we're going to find out how to make it stretch. We'll be talking to a butcher and a chef.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.